This is News Talk.
Let's begin with the Irish Times this morning, and Dublin set to face further restrictions as alert level in doubt. I suppose it's the worst kept secret, this COVID-19 plan, because we've known for a week or two that it's coming out today. We already know about the five levels of restrictions for various counties, and we know that there are going to be further restrictions for Dublin. So it's kind of just waiting for the actual announcement, even though we kind of know what's going to be in it. The Irish Times tells us this morning that they're going to actually decide this morning if the government will escalate the alert level of Dublin above the rest of the state under the Living with COVID-19 five-level plan. And the paper says serious concerns continue about the rates of infection in the capital. Really, the problem here is, what do you do with Dublin? Do you keep it at level two, like the rest of the country, and bring in some sort of alterations or further restrictions? Or do you escalate it to level three, but then scale back some of what level three would involve? And I suppose psychologically, they're probably looking at leaning more towards level two, but then you bring in further restrictions for Dublin. That might be more appealing to people in Dublin, if you want to use that word. If it's kept at level two, Dublin's population would be subject to additional restrictions, including a delay in the reopening of pubs from September 21st, as well as a new measure which would say members of only one household will be allowed to visit another home. However, the other scenario being discussed by ministers in the Irish Times, we're told, is that you put Dublin at level three but modify some of the more severe restrictions associated with the elevated level. Don't know what they're going to do. We'll find out later this morning. Licensed Vintners Association Chief Executive Donal O'Keefe already out saying it would be unbelievable for the reopening of non-food pubs in Dublin to be further delayed past September 21st. So we shall see what happens. The Irish Daily Mail this morning, please do not leave Dublin. And you kind of think with that headline, that's difficult when so many people from so many counties travel in and out of Dublin every day for work. But people in Dublin may be asked not to leave the capital as part of a suite of new COVID restrictions unveiled later. Craig Hughes also confirming too what we had in the Irish Times, that wet pubs in Dublin will not be permitted to open next week in the plans to be signed off by Cabinet. And obviously, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, if this was any other county, you'd sort of lock it down. Like if this was Leitrim and you had the same incidence rate of COVID-19 as Dublin, there would be severe restrictions brought in, like what happened in Kildare, Laois and Offaly. But you do have to consider the economy here. And I know people hate hearing that. And it should, obviously, the priority should be about public health and the health of citizens. But there's an example. When you think about the economy, when you think about Dublin, look at all the people coming in from counties as far as, I don't know, Cavan and Carlow and Kilkenny and all of these different counties who travel in and out. It's just not as practical to have these sort of lockdown measures in Dublin as it would be in some other counties. But then again, you have to take action, unfortunately, because the rate in Dublin is much higher than in other parts of the country. The Irish Examiner on the front page this morning goes through a lot of confusion at government level and also in the Department of Health level of what Leo Varadkar said yesterday. We heard a little bit of it on the news there at 6 o'clock, but there's confusion in government circles last night after Taoiseach the Leo Varadkar said he's optimistic that Ireland can begin vaccinating against COVID-19 in the new year. This left a lot of people scratching their heads. So Leo Varadkar said there's hope on the horizon for a vaccine for the elderly and healthcare workers, but the Irish public should be prepared for further local lockdowns as we head into winter. Then the people in the Department of Health started talking and clearly briefing some journalists and saying they've no idea where Leo Varadkar has gotten his information from. A source tells the Irish Examiner, "We're highly unlikely to have an approved vaccine in January. This is certainly not something I've heard." Another department source told the Examiner, "That's not what's happening. We don't know when we'll have a vaccine. We're only setting up a committee to decide on how we'd roll out any vaccine programme. Hopefully he knows something we don't, but we're launching a plan that takes us to next April. Unless he knows something we don't, maybe he'll hook us up." So I don't know where Leo Varadkar got his information from. He is obviously the Taoiseach of the country. Maybe he knows more than the Department of Health knows about a vaccine. But certainly he seemed quite hopeful yesterday of a vaccine early in the new year. Now, I love this headline in the Irish Examiner, "Just what 2020 needs, aliens." And Nina Massey reminds us that so far this year we've had forest fires, Brexit, a global pandemic, race riots, a 5-month Dáil impasse, more forest fires, more Brexit, not to mention the impending US presidential election. And now this discovery of this sort of smelly gas in the clouds of Venus could indicate the presence of alien life forms. I was joking yesterday, I was saying we should put Venus on the green list. At least you wouldn't have to isolate if you came back from there. The gas has been detected in the atmosphere of Venus, suggesting the planet could host unknown photochemical or geochemical processes. And now it's all talk about possible alien life in Venus. Right, we move on to the Irish Independent this morning. Let's bring us back to earth here, because the price of a green budget, the Indo says the cost of a new car could rise by €1,000. And this is because of an overhaul of VRT in the forthcoming budget. A government think tank says buyers of new cars with average or above average emissions should pay more tax to push people towards greener vehicles. So that would be a big shake-up. And as the Irish Independent says, it's a carrot and stick polluter pays approach. In the longer term, households may also have to start paying excise duty on electricity for the first time. So not positive news if you drive, obviously, a sort of a car that's a lot of emissions. But if you drive an electric vehicle, you might be happy with that headline this morning, perhaps. A lot of the papers, too, talk about that horrible incident that happened in Kilmainham in Dublin yesterday, where we had a man killed. And Stephen Breen in the Irish Sun, the headline is "Battered to Death for a Phone. Gardaí last night quizzing a teenage boy after a homeless man was brutally stomped to death over a mobile phone. The 16-year-old was seen jumping, allegedly, on the head of Claudio Robu in his 40s early yesterday morning in Kilmainham in Dublin. A source telling the Sun it was a barbaric attack. And the Herald also, teen in quotation marks jumped on a homeless man's head. That's the allegation there, that a teenager allegedly jumped on a homeless man's head during a fatal assault. And if you were listening to The Hard Shoulder yesterday, Barry White met another homeless man in Kilmainham. And what struck me about it was the fear that homeless people have. Obviously, you know, living on the streets is certainly not easy, and you've so many worries. But this worry that seems to be in a lot of homeless people's minds the whole time about how they're under constant fear of being attacked on the streets. So as well as obviously living in very, very difficult conditions, they're also worried about the physical attacks that they could face. Really striking interview Barry had yesterday, and that man actually telling Barry that he felt lucky he was alive after hearing this story from Kilmainham. I'm going to the Daily Telegraph just to give a snapshot of COVID-19 in the UK, and it's just a striking story in the Telegraph. NHS hospitals are cancelling operations and turning away patients because there's a deepening crisis over COVID-19 testing. So they've shortages of tests, and it's threatening the running of services. And the reason why this is a worry is that doctors and nurses, so many of them, can't get a COVID test. So obviously they have to stay at home, so then they can't treat patients. And it's been described as unacceptable. And what's really worrying about this is in the 10 worst COVID-19 hotspots in the UK, they are running out of tests. So where the virus is transmitting at a very worrying rate, they don't have enough tests to test people in that area. Really, really frightening. The Irish Times' Conor Gallagher has a story this morning about romance fraud, which I wasn't really overly aware of, but detectives have uncovered a control centre for a large-scale romance fraud operating in Ireland. And it seems like up until this point, Gardaí thought that where people were getting trapped, it was by someone abroad taking money from them. But now they've found that this is going on in this country, people living here. Romance fraud involves victims being lured into fake romantic relationships online before being financially exploited. So basically, people use fake IDs, fake identities, lure their victims in, build up trust, obviously flirt with them and do whatever they do. And then they start saying things like, you know, my mother needs an operation, or my dad, you know, can't afford his car insurance. Would you be able to give me a lend of money? And I will definitely pay you back. And I love you. I think you're great. And I can't wait to meet you. Suddenly they get the money and you never hear from them again. Now it turns out that there's a suspicion it's going on in this country by people based in this country. So a lot of work going on there by Gardaí on that front. Final story is about our pampered pooches. This is something I think a lot of us have suspected for a long time now. Dogs are just spoiled and they're becoming like humans. And obviously we know people say dogs start to look like their owners, or owners start to look like their dogs, but now they're feeling and suffering like them too. Up to 20% of dogs are suffering from allergies, and their conditions are because they have too much of a comfortable life. So sitting on sofas, eating human food and spending too much time indoors are thought to be causing an increase in dogs showing signs of allergic reactions. That's according to new research which is in the Times of London this morning. Let me know what you think. 53106. Do you know of someone whose dog you think is ridiculously pampered? Or maybe you think our pooches deserve to be pampered and they should be treated like humans. Feel free to get in touch with us. Those are the stories making the headlines in today's papers.
On 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.